League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome, everybody, to Mike TV. This is episode 62, recorded on May 30th, 2021. We are your Mike TV hosts, Lisa and Dean. Hello, Dean.
Hey, Lisa, how you doing? It's, as always, it's been a while.
It's feel like been it's a, so long.
It's like what we, instead of it's back, it's like we're back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's us. We're here.
That should be our theme, so we'll get that old stained tune. It's been a while.
No, I hate that song, really.
Oh, I do too, but
hey, I'm so jealous of your regular scheduled podcast, Hyperdrive. It's so good, by the way. Everybody, I hope everybody's listening to this. Go subscribe right now to Hyperdrive podcast. It's so funny. Oh my God, you guys are so funny. I'm jealous. It's every week.
Yeah, well, it's the benefit of two people who can randomly stay up till like 2 a.m. to get pretty blasted and talk about whatever we're talking about. Check out the Hyperdrive. It's me and my buddy that I've known for most of my life. Just talking about, I don't know, we're still kind of, every couple of weeks we tend to shift what the podcast actually kind of covers, but it ends up just being us, like I said, getting pretty blitzed and then talking about whatever. I think this last week we started talking about UFOs and aliens and such. And I will give a shout out because our number one remote, Roby, is our new editor for our podcast. He reached out and decided he wanted to do some editing practice. So he's edited our last episode.
Do you think he'd want to edit our show?
I bet if you asked him, I'm sure. It actually shocks me he's never reached out to us about it, because he just randomly reached out to me about it last week, and I was like, yeah, sure. Wants to do the work for me? Sure, absolutely.
We've put it out there, Roby. Yeah, because so he puts the sound effects and things in.
Well, some of those we play live, but past episode specifically, he did add some things in, and he cut out a lot of pauses and stuff. So he's trying to clean it up a little bit. So. Yeah, so thanks, Roby. But yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Roby.
But hey, you know what? My TV watching hasn't been current enough to where I don't know what we'd talk about most weeks if we were doing a consistently scheduled program.
Well, going back to the Hyperdrive, you all spoke on the Friends reunion, and I don't think when you last recorded it had aired yet. It has aired now, so we're going to talk about it. But on Hyperdrive, you all touched on your favorite moments from Friends episodes. And I was so disappointed. You guys could do better than that. You can do better than that.
Well, you know, it's from, I think sometimes from a guy's perspective to have, if you realized all my favorite moments I mentioned were between the three males on the show. Mm-hmm. And I think I relate a little bit more than that. Obviously I love Phoebe and the lobster and, you know, Smelly Cat but oh man, I love some Bamboozled I love the Coffee House Bullies. Some good stuff. Good stuff.
That's like saying you like the one where the chair dies, whatever, that Rosita.
Are you saying like I'm too mainstream or something?
No. I'm saying the best ones are this goes without argument. They don't know that we know. Right. Of course, where Chandler and Phoebe try to do the kiss off. I laugh every time at that, where they are, well, I guess I'll kiss you now.
Yes.
She went to get the lotion. He went to get the lotion. It's just wonderful. That one and the we were just talking about it, speaking of the Friends reunion, because they brought in so many little cameo characters. The hand twin. I think the one where they go to Vegas is very funny, and Joey finds his hand twin.
Yeah, so Thomas stupid. Lennon is yes. great. And especially later when he brings in Phoebe to play him the mark. Oh, you two, has anyone ever told you you two have almost identical hands? Stop it. Yes. Stop it. I just love Thomas Lennon's reactions to it. Absolutely great. I love that. You know what? And I'd almost forgotten about this episode until I saw a part of it on the reunion. I love when Joey is the fragrance model, the fragrance yeah. display guy, the cowboy, and then he yeah. has the showdown with the black versus white cowboy. Oh, it's the mm-hmm. that was a really good episode too. Yeah, I think there's a lot where I just.
The one where they play football and Thanksgiving. And
yeah, that's the thing.
I mean, that's iconic.
Friends has great moments. I think it's funny. I've been seeing so many people lately acting as if Friends isn't cool all of a sudden. You it's know, like they want to act like they talk about like they don't. You know, it's like one of those, Friends is, it's really not overrated. In fact, giving a shout out to our local radio station, the Von Hessler Doctrine, which we have mm-hmm. some connections to Tim Andrews, of course, which we need to talk about. Hold on. Yeah, we have. In fact, we should have started with that. We'll come right back to that. But Autumn Fisher, I believe, actually, they were mentioning the Friends reunion. She made a comment where she goes, I try to not like Friends because it's like I'm too cool, but every time I watch it, I'm laughing. And I think that is mm-hmm. Friends. It is, of course, it's cliched. It is a joke upon itself at this point, but it's a pop culture milestone. And it's like Seinfeld. Sure. There are definitely overrated aspects of Seinfeld and Friends, but they are classic sitcom mm-hmm. television. Mm-hmm. Like these are, it is this era's, you know, the Honeymooners or I Love Lucy and sure. things like that, right? Like these are those shows that people will talk about when they look back at the 90s 2000s era of television sitcoms. So I thought the reunion sucked overall, but it was a nice little nostalgia trip. Like it's, if you're a Friends fan, you watch it. There's no James Corden is unbearable. Like he's terrible.
Truly.
Joey, it shocks me how fat he looks because he will always seems like the one that Matt LeBlanc seems like the one that would have stayed in shape. But he looks like in fact, I saw on Twitter, it's trending that he looks like an old Irish uncle, which I guess that's a thing. But to me, because he is Italian, I just kept thinking he looks like, you know, how in the old days in the 60s and 70s, these big boxers when they were in the 50s and stuff, they would end up going back to New York or wherever they're, and they'd like open an Italian restaurant and then they didn't run it or anything. They just happened. They just hung out there all the yeah. time and told stories and were like the face of the thing. That's what he looked like when he was just sitting there and give it to him. He didn't care. He just hanging it all out there. But, that was great. And then, of course, you know, Matthew Perry, who knows? I felt sorry
just for all of them, except for Lisa Kudrow. Lisa Kudrow is a queen. She's the best.
She seemed the most
at ease, normal. Relaxed.
And normal, I was even shocked yes. how much Jennifer Aniston seemed like, like you could tell she's the way she talked and the way like she's also been. And of course, she's had work done and stuff, but like. She sounded like that old, her teeth are too big yes. or she's had too much work. When they were doing the read-throughs, it was either Lisa Kudrow or I will say David Schwimmer when they did the, what did it that he did? He did some scream or something where he went like, even as, you know, as now David Schwimmer, he went all out and did his read-through. And I really liked that because it was cool to see him and Kudrow, especially revert back to Ross and Phoebe. Like you saw their characters. Yeah. The other ones you didn't feel like they were playing, you know, it just felt like old people rereading lines from the past. So I don't know. It had good things. But like I said, if you're a Friends fan, watch it. You'll sure. enjoy it. Even the parts you don't like, overall you will enjoy it. I'm sure at some point you will tear up or get close to tearing up because you're just gonna it's packaged really well. A lot of the montages and things are packaged, especially when you see the footage of the last episode and all and them in, you know, real time, like just breaking down afterwards and crying and hugging, you know, it is a little moving. And if you are a hardcore Friends fan, like if you still remember where you were to watch the finale when she got off the plane, you know, like you got to watch it. Even if it's not great, you're going to watch it. So that was my
sure opinion. Of course. They missed some important cameos in my mind. I didn't realize they were going to do so many cameos. And then I thought, well, okay, this is a thing.
Yeah. Paul Rudd, was it there?
Yeah. Yeah.
How you not get Paul Rudd?
I know.
He does everything. He must have really been busy.
And they have the Reese Witherspoon, but not
Christina Applegate.
Right.
Was she the other sister? Yeah.
And I thought of another one. It'll come to me. Anyway, I don't know. I was disappointed, but what could you expect? I mean, none of them have had, other than Jennifer Aniston, none of them have just had these like major takeoff careers.
Kudrow's had a very good career.
Oh, I'm sure they've all had good careers.
I think Matthew Perry, for everyone acting as if he hasn't done anything in years, he's done plenty of things.
Sure. Over,
like, and even LeBlanc right now has a current show on Netflix, I believe. Like they're, Aniston, of course, is just a face, and it shocks me that Courtney Cox didn't have as big of a career as Aniston, because I feel like she could have been there, but I don't know.
Is she really that good of an actress, though?
Is Jennifer Aniston really that good of an actress?
I don't know. You saw The Morning Show. She was pretty damn good on that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, but I feel you're right. I don't know. Courtney Cox did marry David Arquette, and that's just bad decision making. So I don't know what you can do. Hey, let's get to some really important news that we somehow overlooked. That is our Papa Bear, Tim Andrews, who is the godfather of Mike TV, is a proud papa. He's a daddy. Yay!
Welcome to the world, Gilbert.
Yeah.
Oh, we're so happy for Tim and Caitlin. So exciting. Yeah,
that's super awesome. I don't know how I hadn't heard or whatever that I knew this was the week or so that, and I'd messaged him a week or so ago, and cause I couldn't remember when they were kind of scheduling their due date. He seems very excited about it. I know it's scary, I'm sure, to be an older new parent. but I mean,
they got this.
Him and Caitlin have been rocking and rolling, and I know they've been working hard toward this for several years now. So very happy. I'm glad Gilbert looks healthy and looks everything's gonna be great and awesome. Yeah, like congratulations, Tim and Caitlin. Yeah.
Congratulations. Fantastic. I know. I'm so excited. I can't wait to meet him. Well, and then since we last spoke, 4 to 6 weeks ago, some shows that were just getting started that I was pitching you on have now also ended. And I'm sure you haven't even watched them. Mayans.
Still haven't gotten there.
Please, would you make a list, Dean? This is going to be very important. I'm not going to be able to keep reminding you.
Can I ask questions to like get myself more interested? Mm-hmm. Is there any more connection to Sons of Anarchy? Well, actually, not my bigger question. I know you told me originally you felt that you could feel that. Kurt Sutter.
Oh, Kurt Sutter, yeah.
That he was not a part of, he's not a part of the show anymore.
Speaking of Roby, because I'm going to bring Roby up in a second here again, too. But no, Roby was the one who felt Kurt Sutter's presence was missed. I didn't feel it. I thought the show was every bit as good.
Any more connections to the original SOA?
Oh, yes.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Do you remember, let me just say, I can never remember his name. But do you remember the really bad junkie guy that Jax was like a big foil to Jax? He was like a bad heroin addict in early seasons of Sons of Anarchy. And Jax never killed him. Jax came close to killing him because this guy ripped Jax off more times than you can count, throw a stick at.
Okay.
But the guy was just such a junkie. Okay.
Okay. Good.
But there's other stuff. Oh, there's so much stuff. I don't want to spoil it. That's one show. Please don't get spoiled. Just watch it, Dean.
All right.
Also, The Nevers, my big rant, Joss Whedon, The Rant. I know more about it. This was 6 episodes that have aired. this was up to, these are the six episodes, essentially, the Joss Whedon episodes. Now he's gone. And HBO decided to do another six onto this season. So they've called them essentially part one and part two.
And when does part two start?
Good question. They haven't even started filming it yet. Go ahead and just watch these six and enjoy, because they are wonderful. They are wonderful.
Yeah. I think I'm never going to watch it.
Why?
I don't know. I have no interest in it.
You are crazy. It is so good. It is some of the, let me just tell you about this one scene in maybe episode three. The main character, Amalia, you come to learn why she's such a badass fighter. It's not just, oh, it's magic. It's not that. It's something way bigger and so cool, which is revealed by episode six. I'll say that. You get the full, like, aha moment. The Joss Whedon, ooh, he's so good at it. But she fights this huge, so the man that she's fighting in this scene can walk on water.
Okay.
And she is out on a boat.
Is it Jesus? She's fighting Jesus.
Well, he's like a big, like, huge muscle man.
Okay.
And him stomping over to her. And so her only hope is to get underwater, because he can't go under the water. And she fights him from under the water, Dean. It is some of the coolest fight choreography I've ever seen in my life. She wins, and it is so cool how she is able to maneuver her fighting technique to better him. I'm just telling you, you just need to watch this show.
Now, is there going to be a Snyder cut of The Nevers? Because that I'm interested
Fuck
in.
You and your Snyder cut can go to hell. All right. Also, another HBO show, which the finale airs tonight, and that is Mayor of Easttown. This is just a little limited series starring Kate Winslet and you-know-who boner, Evan Peters.
Evan Peters in the show?
Yes. And
I gotta watch the show. He's my favorite.
And Gene Smart and David Denman, from The Office.
Gabe?
No, not Gabe. Jenna Fisher's first boyfriend.
Roy.
Roy.
Yeah, I like Roy.
There's tons of people in it, but Kate Winslet is going to win an Emmy for the show. Gene Smart possibly as well. It's only seven episodes and done. Limited series.
Oh, so it's a full
story.
One
of the coolest mysteries. It's just a small town murder mystery. And you think, well, this isn't going to be anything special. What's so special about it? But it's how they position almost everybody in the town could be guilty. And I'm sure there's been stuff like this before, but it's just so well done.
Can you explain the pun of the title? Because it's Mayor, right? M-A-R-E as opposed to Mayor, M-A-Y-O-R.
Yes. Mayor is her name.
Oh, gotcha. And is she the mayor?
No. She's a police detective.
Mayor part of the story?
Mayor has nothing to do with a mayor. Her name is Mayor, like Mayor Winningham or
that. Okay, well, I'll be 100% honest. When I saw the title, I just assumed it was some political show about a mayor of
or East about a town. Horse. No, it would be well, mayor like I that did is a horse.
Think, yeah, I noticed there wasn't a horse on the picture, so I didn't think. I did think that at first too, that maybe it was a Seabiscuit type show. And
no Seabiscuits.
If Ralph Boner's on it, I gotta watch it.
There are some very funny moments, but ultimately it is a whodunit mystery straight up, which will be solved tonight.
Okay,
I might already be solved. I think it's been solved.
That might be on my radar this week. Then
I envy someone who can watch it all in one take. Speaking of the envy. You might have seen this on Twitter. I'm going to go back to Roby now. When we last met, Dean, Roby said we needed to watch Gangs of London. Mm-hmm. And he hammered us on Twitter about it. And thank you, Roby. Thank you for doing that. And please, I wish anybody who wants us to watch something and recommend a good show, not a crap show, but a good show to us, please follow us on Twitter. You'll see it all in the show notes.
Now, Roby also did tell us he's a huge Big Bang Theory fan.
I know, but Roby has good taste. Despite the Big Bang Theory, let's not go there. Roby, that's one little flaw. It's one little blemish.
Everybody gets one.
I don't. I have all my shows are quality. Oh, no, wait, Riverdale.
Yeah, Riverdale. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Roby, Gangs of London. You are right. Holy shit. That show starts off with from the very get-go. The pilot episode is one of the best pilots maybe I've ever seen. It starts off with he's just dangling a man off of a building, ready to drop him off of a high. I mean, you don't, and it's like a little bit of a flashback as to why he's about to, you know, kill this man.
No, it's a period show.
No, current. It's set current in
okay,
London.
Okay.
It is big. It's kind of, I really hate to spoil anything. I'll say that it's big, big money gangs, big business gangs. So they have a front, you know, they are the rich people around London. The head family, the biggest of them all, the biggest and baddest are the Wallace family. Finn Wallace and his wife, Marion. And Marion is played by Michelle Fairley, a.k.a. Catelyn Stark. She's mm-hmm. awesome. And then they have their sons, Sean and Billy. And Billy's just a drug addict. He's not really involved in the family business. He's just there. But Sean, well, I'll take that back. Billy does some stuff. But Sean is like kind of like next in line to take over for his father. So he's ruthless and he's, you know, he's cutthroat. And in episode one, his father is murdered. So he's got to take over and lead all these other gangs and all this other criminal activity, keep it kind of all at bay while also trying to solve the mystery of who killed his father. And it is some of, again, some fight scenes like you've never seen before in your life. They do these, I swear there are no cuts, these single camera or single shot fight scenes that move through mm-hmm. a bar out to an alley and just cool. keep going. And it's just badass.
It's awesome.
But it is very, very entangled. Very, it's another one of those where I say, watch with your subtitles on. You'll like, catch more than you miss.
Yeah, yeah.
The accents are heavy. Their names are all like Asif and Lale and Mosi. Okay. And so it's hard. And there's so many of them. They throw so many of them. And they're all different nationalities. I'm not making fun of anything. There's the Albanian. There's a struggle with the Albanians and the, I don't know. You just got to see it. It's
right.
It's worth getting AMC Plus right now for Gangs of London. And then you can get caught up on Walking Dead and keep it just through Walking Dead's final season.
Is AMC Plus like a separate thing now?
Yes, it's like $5 a month.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I thought you still had to have AMC through like a provider Mm-mm. or something.
No, you can get AMC Plus, and Dean, and you can watch all of Gangs of London right now.
I see that. yeah, I could do that. So we'll see.
And get caught up on that last season of Walking Dead. I promise you'll like it. Okay, all right, so since we last spoke, I think that's really all I had on my list. You've watched none of those things.
I have not.
But I'm just going to keep bugging you to until you do. I think you'll like all of them. You know, I wouldn't recommend a show that I didn't think you'd like.
No, it doesn't mean I won't, but yes, you do. And you have great intentions, Lisa. So all right,
okay, go for it. Yes, tell me something.
A couple shows I've been watching. Mm-hmm. I have watched a few things.
Give me one because I have more to throw at you. We're gonna have to do forth here.
I watched Jupiter's Legacy on Netflix, which was supposed to be Netflix's big superhero show.
Even Josh Duhamel couldn't get me on that show. I love Josh Duhamel, but he not a as a hippie.
A Jupiter-sized pile of shit is basically what it was.
Looks like it.
It had an interesting kind of premise.
Comic book. It's based off a comic book, right?
Yeah, Robert Kirkman, I believe.
No.
No, it wasn't Kirkman. Who is
No. Invincible. Mark. Yeah. Mark a good...
Not Millar, was it?
No, but a good comic book writer. Okay. His name will come to me. But somebody who's
so it's some people that have mm-hmm. they get powers and it's like this. It's there's like a you know, this is us style. It's always either modern day or the past thing, which was kind of annoying.
Is Josh Duhamel young in it?
Yeah. He's young throughout half of it. He's not always the old man. I tell you what, though. I know you that turned you off of the trailer. The old Josh Duhamel, way better than the young Josh Duhamel in the show, as far as just like he's very, because when he's young, it's supposed to be in like the 20s. So it's almost like they're almost, you know, they're overacting like almost 20s style actors, like that kind of thing. It's annoying. It's not great. The story's not great. The premise of it, I like, of the people who have powers who don't get involved in political matters. So everything is still happening. Like, you know, there was still World War II in it, but they don't get involved in anything that has to do with like government based stuff. They let governments do it. They're basically just there to like save people from natural disasters if they can, to help, you know, rebuild things, different things like that. So I did that premise. And it's this idea that they have this code. Oh, it's they don't get involved in political matters and they don't kill. Mm-hmm. And it starts in modern day where now this guy's son, and basically I would, you know, because it's coming out in the same time frame, if you almost want to link it to Invincible, it's this dad and his son, and the son's looking to take over. But it doesn't go in any way the way Invincible does. But the son, in order to save his dad, because he feels like his dad's about to be killed by a supervillain, punches the guy like so hard that he basically just like punches his face off, like kills a guy. And so it's all now a thing where, you know, he's breaking the code. A hero has killed a person. Should they arrest him? Should it be a murder? And like, so, but, and that's like a background to all of this. And they didn't focus on that enough. I like the idea that you had the superheroes and then all of a sudden becomes into, you know, almost a Watchmen style, like how much power is too much power, who polices the superpowered people, that kind of thing. It just, I don't know. It didn't work. The first season, especially, was way too slow. Like by the end of the season, you felt like they could have put all of it into two episodes and then moved forward. It wasn't great. I won't be shocked if it doesn't get renewed.
Well, and you know, you mentioned Invincible. That made me realize, oh my gosh, that show was still going on when we last spoke. We didn't talk about the finale of that. And all I got to say is, come on. Come on, Dean, you had to come around on that finale. That subway scene was everything.
Oh, that subway scene was wild. Everything. I told you I liked Invincible. Yes. And in fact, I actually did think that I almost had the opposite reaction for that, where I didn't want them to have revealed that it was Omni-Man at the very beginning. I wish they would have held that out. But by the end, it got to where it needed to go for me. It, like I said, there were some slow parts, but overall, I thought it was a great series.
And it's been renewed for two more seasons.
Yeah, it is. Like, as far as I know, this is something that we shouldn't necessarily cheer about, but man, the violence in this is an animated version of The Boys. And these are just the most wildly graphic. that subway scene where he's just tearing through people.
I mean, I even looked over at Sean at that. It kept going, and I was like, "Oh my god!" I don't know that I've seen animated or otherwise so much carnage in one scene.
So I'm interested. I'm interested to see where that goes. I know that is the Robert Kirkman graphic novel. So I'm in. I don't know anything about it. So I'm not. I will I'm not. For sure it's funny. I won't spoil myself on something like that. But
no, I'm gonna read it.
I'll look forward to seeing what happens with that.
You know what I've heard is that what we got basically was only the first 12 issues of that series.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense.
So they do all that in 12 or 16 issues or something like that. So they do all that in essentially the first. Well, I guess in comic book time, that's a year. Right? A year. So, okay, never mind. Let me lighten the mood here a bit and talk to you about a show that you need to get on right away. If you liked Made for Love, and I know you did because we talked about it, and I said, hey, it goes so dark. Like, I don't think it could go any darker. Oh, my God. And it just did. In a show called Hacks, the darkest comedy by episode 5.
Okay.
Episode 5 has, and you'll know it, it is the darkest premise, like moment where you are laughing and should not be laughing and are okay. Like, I can't even believe I'm laughing at this. It's so horrible, but so wonderful. It is Jean Smart, the queen, the goddess. Yep. Give her all the Emmys. She plays one character in Master of None, drastically different in this show in Hacks. She plays Deborah Vance. She's a Vegas nightclub, or not nightclub. She's the Vegas headliner. She's the mm-hmm. big act in Vegas, the one in lights. But she's also essentially a washed up comedian. I mean, she's okay. rich as shit, but she's had this lifelong career comedian, you know, successful career, still chasing it. And then the young ingenue comedic writer, Ava, is basically tasked to write jokes for her, assigned to her to write to Deborah to write jokes. And at first, Deborah's horrible to her, and of course, you know, hates her and is rude and awful, and you know, but Ava does puts up with it, and the two, of course, grow a friendship, and it is kind of this, you know, a friendship built on I can take a, you know, your criticisms, because you just have to see it. I mean, Jean Smart gets some dingers in, but by episode 5, Dean, I can't spoil it. I'm just saying, for everybody who's out there, watch Hacks, one of the funniest shows. If you've liked the dark comedies we've recommended thus far, including Made for Love, which hopefully everybody's watched. Excuse Bless me. You. And I think they're watching Hacks over on Radio Labyrinth. I think they've talked about it. So.
And what channel is this on?
It's HBO Max.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That sounds good.
The first 6 have aired so far. HBO's airing 2.
Are they 30 minutes?
30 minutes.
Oh, cool.
Then it's going to be 10 to this season, and they're airing 2 a week on Thursdays.
Okay. MODOK.
We talked about that. It was coming out. It came out.
It came out with a bang. So you are not a fan of the MODOK. Now let me. We talked briefly before we started recording. And I told you that I wanted to say that when I watched the first episode, as soon as it started, I think I immediately realized I did not think you would like this at all. Now, the last time we did talk about this, you mentioned that your husband, this is one of his favorite comic characters.
Correct.
Which immediately when the show started, I realized this is not a show for people who are actually real big fans of MODOK the comic, because this has nothing really very much at all, except for just joke side references to do with a comic character. This is flat out, if you were ever a fan of Robot Chicken from Adult Swim on Cartoon Network,
which I am a huge fan.
Yeah, this is the Seth Green and the other creators of that. This is their show, and it is very clearly a Robot Chicken show, because most of the show is still just like kind of silly out there references and visual gags and things like that. And basically they've used Marvel's I don't know about that. And they use Marvel's MODOK as like the background of it, right? Like he's just like they've imprinted on it. I think as someone who is not invested in any way in MODOK, in fact, to the point, like I know who I obviously know who MODOK is, and in my comic, we talked about this before. My comic background is all based off Marvel cards from the 90s. Okay. I was a bit of a comic reader later in life, but I really was never heavy into reading comics. But I collected Marvel cards in my childhood from the age of like 5 to 13, like religiously.
Do you still have them? You want some money?
There's actually a long story of. They are somewhere. They are literally like in limbo right now. I've been searching for them for 2 to 3 years. They're somewhere, but I do
not
have,
looking good.
I do have several full series from like the early 90s that yes, could be worth some money, but I don't even want them for that. I love the cards. They were something that I just like how Tim Andrews is very into baseball cards. I was a Marvel card kid. So like I know MODOK from that. But I don't really know very much about him, except that he's a big floating head, you know, who's a super genius, basically, and is like he's like Iron Man, but not like, it's basically like if a disabled nerd became like, was the closest thing to being Iron Man's rival. Like that's kind of what MODOK is to me, as far as what I see him as. So this show was fantastic because that's basically what the show is. He's a genius supervillain who's also pretty much a loser. Yeah. And is losing his family, which I love that they bring in this personal touch of he's getting, you know, separating from his wife.
Yeah, I hated.
You didn't like the family at all, no. And the kids and everything.
No.
Yeah, so it's not connected to the MCU. It's completely off of it. So they could potentially still bring MODOK later on in real life, you know, in a better sense. But yeah, I immediately knew that someone who knows this character and has investment in it was not probably going to like this show, which is interesting that Marvel took that route, because clearly this was not, you know, made as a MODOK, you know, storyline base. It's all this kind of silly family drama in the guise of a MODOK. I did love some of the references, though, as far as just random comic references. I texted you in all caps. There were multiple Fing Fang Foom references, which is always a delight. Mephisto finally shows up in MODOK in a non-important random aside, but he's there with puppet hands of children, just like which would have been WandaVision of the children of Wanda. So there are some great there are some great just little comic gag references, but this is just you got to look at this show as doesn't mean anything. It's a silly show. Look at it, even if you just watch it for like, hey, you're going to probably understand more of the comic references than I even understood. So there are a lot of, it's a comic fan making a comedy show about a character, but not really about the character.
And I think if it were just a bunch of robot chicken style sketches that were all right, like Marvel related, I would like it. It was the family stuff. And also, you know, I don't know how to say this. I don't like Patton Oswalt for this role. I don't like him voicing this character. I don't think it fits. And I couldn't get that out of my head. And so I didn't make it very far into the first episode. I may go back. I want to like it. But the family shit, as soon as that started, as soon as his daughter floated in.
Oh, the daughter's great.
I was like, oh, I've had enough.
The son's Ben Schwartz, and you know I'm a huge Ben Schwartz fan.
Well, yes. The daughter was what I couldn't stand.
Yeah. There is a great episode. I believe it's episode 5 where, so, you know, the premise of the show is AIM is basically getting bought out by like a Facebook style company. And it ends up being, and I don't know if you may know this reference. I did not. I had to look it up. Hex, the living corporation or something like that, is the bad guy who buys out AIM and tries to, like, they're trying to take over the world by basically making social media and corporate like advertising, like they like enslave people through advertisement basically. So it's like this alien company. They're called Hex, the Living Corporation, but they're like the bad guys, but they're buying out his company. But there's an episode where he has to then break in and steal stuff, and he goes to a bar for supervillains, and he gets kicked out of there because he's not cool enough. And he gets like chastised by Mr. Sinister and some random like X-Men bad guys and stuff like this. So he ends up at this bar for the villain, the bar with no name, which is for villains with no names. And it's all these just random one-off, bad guys from random Avengers and X-Men comics and stuff like that, that he works together to create like this Ocean's 11 style heist with just these terrible, like one's like Yo-Yo, who's like has like a superpowered Yo-Yo or something like that. So there's just, it's ridiculous. I tell you what, it's a great show to just get a little wasted and watch that while you're, you know, got a couple there, you know, so 20 minutes, watch it before you go to bed, laugh a little bit. Don't really care about it.
Maybe.
You guys might be too bought into MODOK for it.
To the canon.
Let's face it, MODOK could never make it in the MCU.
No.
Like, they can't. Like, if they ever did MODOK, it would have to be like a drone, or, you know, it's just a computer system powered by maybe a guy's brain or something. But they'd never be able to have the giant floating head man.
We need to see a lot more of AIM first before a MODOK emerges onto the scene.
And they already kind of fucked up AIM with Iron Man 3, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, well.
For sure.
What else have you been watching?
Well, speaking of a show that maybe some could say is not the show they expected, that's a good segue. Master of None season 3 finally came back, Dean. And are you a Master of None guy?
I am not a Master of None guy. This is Aziz Ansari's show, correct?
This is a season. And you've never seen seasons 1 or 2?
I've never seen a single episode. Now, this is... at least what I know as far as just Aziz and everything. This is the first season since everything happened with Aziz, right? So it's been about, what, 3 or 4 years at this point?
Long time. The last Master of None, I believe, was 2017.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. So long. Yeah. Maybe 2018. No, yeah, I think 17. Still way too long. And season 2 was phenomenal. In fact, I tried to get my mom into Master of None. She tried season 1. I didn't get into it. And finally, I was like, look, season 3 is coming back. Just forget season 1, mom. Just start with season 2. Just take off from there. And I think she's much more into it now. Season 2 is wonderful.
Okay.
I think I've told you a little bit about... there's one episode where they've talked about it on Radio Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. So, and this is, I mean, come on, it's from 2017.
Yeah,
you're
fine. Yeah.
There's one episode where he gets on a dating app, Aziz Ansari, and he's in New York, and what the way the show is cut together is it's kind of all of his dates kind of spliced together at the same restaurant. So you kind of see like one after the other, and kind of each stage of the date, where it bounces around from like 6 different dates that he goes on. Finally, one of them, of these like 6 women, he does end up going back to her place and having sex with her. And right as they're in bed and she's like, oh, grab a condom from that jar over there. And he goes to reach to the jar and it is, I don't even know what you call these, an Aunt Jemima jar. Is that what they're called?
Like a mammy?
Yes, a mammy jar. Thank you. It's a big, like, mammy cookie jar. And she's white, by the way. I should have, maybe that matters. And, you know, he's of Indian descent. And so he's like, you know, like taken aback by it a little bit. And then after they do the deed, he's getting dressed and leaving. And he's like, you know, has anyone ever told you that that jar over there, you know, might be considered a little racist? And she's like, well, no, it was a gift to me. What are you talking about? You know, that's just a cute little thing from the past, you know, it's nothing. And he's like, am I the darkest skinned person you've ever had in your room? And she's like, well, yeah. And he's like, and I'm telling you it's racist. And, you know, maybe you ought to listen to me. And she's like, you mean you think I'm racist, but you still had sex with me anyway? It's just the back and forth is just brilliant all around this jar. There's a lot more to it, but it's so funny. Anyway, season 3 was a huge departure from the show. In fact, Aziz Ansari is barely in it. This is why am I forgetting her name? We loved her. She was in season 3 of Westworld.
Westworld, and she's also from Ready Player One. I know you're talking about. I just can't think of her name. I know exactly who you're talking about, though.
She plays Denise in Master of None, and her character's just always been Aziz Ansari's friend, Denise, and never had much of a storyline. Well, this whole season's all about her. It's only 5 episodes.
Okay.
They're beautiful. I mean, they really are. It's not really funny at all. At all. It's not a comedy at all. In fact, I would call it a straight up a drama.
Drama.
And it really deals with, I mean, I'm not saying that this subject couldn't be the subject for so many couples. And the fact that it was a lesbian couple going through it, I think maybe made it maybe even more impactful because of the sadness of it all, because it's not a happy story, but it is about not Denise, but her wife in the show, which was not her wife. This is supposed to be taking place like 5 years after Master of None aired. So Denise is now a successful writer. She's married. She has a great house in this little town. They're very happy. And her wife wants to have a baby. And they get a sperm donor and get, a friend of theirs and do it the old turkey baster way. And she gets pregnant. It's crazy. But then she miscarries and their relationship kind of fizzles after that. And then we actually see this whole episode of her going through in vitro on her own. Mm. Unbelievable. It's an unbelievable episode, an hour of television, like something I've never seen. And I didn't know in vitro was like that. Mm-hmm. And that it was that, that much of a process. And and it's, I don't envy any woman who has to go through that. And I don't know. It's Master of None, but it's not Master of None. They should have just called it a new show. The Denise love story or something. Anyway, and it's only five episodes. It's very strange. It's very weird. If you've not watched any Master of None thus far, I wouldn't say seek it out because I don't think I've done a great job selling it. But but if you're like Master of None and you're invested in these characters, then you definitely want to see it. And the actress who I feel like an asshole for not remembering her name, please look it up if you are able to. She's so good. And the actress who plays her wife is so good. And I think this might be her first role. They're both excellent in it.
So is Aziz still like the head writer and stuff of it? Or,
I think he directed a lot of them. Yeah, he's heavily involved.
Good. I'm glad that he's, good. That's Lena Waithe is
Lena Waithe. Thank you. Yes. Bravo to her. Look for some Emmy nominations for her and for the wonderful actress who plays her wife.
Would that be Naomi Ackie? Alicia? Is that the
Alicia? Yes.
Yeah, Naomi Ackie.
Oh, so good.
Good. A bit lighter of a show. Before I even talk about this, because I'll tell you what I've been currently actually watching. Getting back into is I've been rewatching season one of Ted Lasso. My number one show of 2020.
Better than Better Call Saul. Like just
better than any television on.
I'm going to watch it, Dean, and I will let you know.
Ted Lasso I laugh and I'm heartbroken and I am happy and it's just. Man, it's a feel good show. And there's sad things in it, but it overall, you can't help but feel good. But anyway, because I've been watching Ted Lasso on Apple TV Plus, I also found a new show, which is not a new show. In fact, the second season just started over the past couple of weeks. But it is the show Mythic Quest, originally called Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet. Now I don't know if we've ever talked about that show, but I know I've heard of it, but I don't think I ever knew what the show was. So it is a show by the people who most would know them is Rob McElhenney and Charlie Day from that would be Mac
Always
and
Sunny.
Charlie from Always Sunny. They're the executive producers and creators of the show, and it's a show about like a video game company that's creating, think of like World of Warcraft or whatever. Whatever the current game might be, Fortnite or who knows, but it's this massive online, MMORP massive multiplayer online role-playing game, right? MMORPG, that they are designers of and coders of. And it's a comedy just of this company creating a new version of this game or a new like expansion of this game, but it's Rob McElhenney is the star. The secondary star is Charlotte Nakato, who I don't know from anything else, but it's an Australian actress who I have just fallen in love with and not even like in a and I actually say that not like what I would normally say with actresses, she's just so darn, this actress is so adorably nerdy and weird, and like it's the character is so awesome. But it's a great show. It also has Danny Pudi, who is Abed from Community, and you know several other people. And it's a great show. It's super funny. 30 minutes. It's in season five, right? Or episode five of season two right now. Just came out this past week. So it's halfway through the second season. Great show. I would definitely recommend it. It's super hilarious. There are, again, Apple TV shows I'm realizing are very good about mixing comedy with heart and you know, meaning to them. Like I'm telling you, I'm kind of like, I'm starting to explore Apple TV Plus a little bit.
Good.
It's like sneaky good. These shows that are on Apple TV.
Sure.
I know you mentioned earlier, or in fact, before we probably were recording, you've watched that Mosquito Coast, right?
And it's really I was gonna say yes, perfect segue as we talk about Apple TV's Ted Lasso and Mythic Quest, which Mythic Quest was one of those shows which right when it first came out I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch that when season one first aired or dropped. They think they dropped them all at once, but I know they're doing week by week now. I was super interested in it, and I also thought, well, this kind of looks like a Silicon Valley ripoff. So I'm going to say, Dean, if you like this, and I'm sure it's that nerdy computer geeky humor, which I also love, and I would guarantee Silicon Valley does it better. Okay. Silicon Valley is the prize champion of this kind of comedy.
Now that's Middle Ditch and T.J. Miller. And
And the guy from the catering show, too, that you made me watch. Guy's in it too. I can't think of his
Martin
name either.
Star.
Yes, Martin Star. Yes. So Mythic Quest I do want to watch because I love Silicon Valley and I figure they're a little similar. But Mosquito Coast, yes, I agree with you. Apple TV, they had me at the morning show.
Yeah.
And I have been a subscriber ever since. I'm like, they're bringing quality TV. Now, have I gotten into another show since the morning show? No.
Not really,
Are there shows I want to watch? Yes. Mosquito Coast had Justin Theroux.
Yeah.
You know, that was going straight to the front of the line with me. And I will say, did you ever see the Mosquito Coast movie or read the book?
No, I don't know what this is. You know,
Tell you, Dean. Firstly, I didn't even realize it was a book. Here's the really interesting little facet. It's a book written by a man named Paul Theroux, who is Justin Theroux's uncle. So go figure. Anyway, the book came out decades ago. And in the 80s, they made a movie of it starring Harrison Ford.
Wow.
River Phoenix.
Whoa.
Martha Plimpton. It was so good. One of my favorite movies when I was maybe 12 years old. One of my all time. It was so good. And it's about a man in the movie. That's all I knew about it. The man takes his family away from the city to live in a remote area, a wilderness area to live off the land and basically help the third world native people there basically get water. And he's like helping them because he knows how to survive. And he was a mad scientist kind of guy. But in the movie, he goes kind of crazy. And I don't even really remember how it ends. It's super good. And it's definitely Harrison Ford at his hottest. Like, if you ever thought, like, the many years of Harrison Ford, when was he at his hottest? Mosquito Coast.
For sure. Makes sense. At his hottest. Of course. That's when I'm always thinking of Harrison Ford. It's early 80s Harrison Ford.
It's kind of like right after Han Solo, Indiana Jones era. But he's super hot in Mosquito Coast. And River Phoenix. Wow.
Right.
Also, like a teenage girl. He's a teenager.
Indiana Jones and young Indiana Jones together.
So good. And Martha Plimpton, his girlfriend in it. Anyway, so it's good. So I was like, what are they going to do in this show? And they are basing the show. I don't know if it's more closely based on the book. Like if the movie is only 2 hours or less, maybe even. So maybe they only pulled certain pieces from the book. Maybe this is more expand, or maybe they're taking the book and expanding it because it's already in episode. Well, I've only watched the first five episodes. They are doing it week to week. I believe six has aired. they're not even at the Mosquito Coast yet, but it's Justin Theroux and his wife. And he's, his character's name is Allie or something like that. I can't remember. Anyway, same kind of thing. He wants to live off the land and, you know, live in a very green way, live off the grid. His family, his wife knows why, but his kids don't really get it. Like, he won't even allow cell phones in his house, things like that. And by the end of the first episode, they're running. They're running from the law, trying to get to Mexico. And his kids really don't know why. He's got two teenage kids. Same thing as the movie. And he has to get help along the way to be able to get over the border and things like that. Same thing. They end up getting this companion along the way, you know, kind of is sticking with them for a while, helping them. It is one of those just kind of like on the edge of your seats action kind of shows, mm-hmm. a la Breaking Bad. There's something not quite right with the dad, but you know he's a good dad. You know he loves his family. You know he's Justin Theroux and he's hot as hell. Right. So that's that. and he's definitely a damn good actor. I mean, he's picking right up from Kevin Garvey, The Leftovers. I mean, he's bringing it all right again. So it's wonderful.
Good.
It's wonderful. And there's one scene where I will say, and I don't know, it's never really clear when it's set. It's kind of set in the present, but in this area that they're in, he and his daughter, as they're running, they're kind of running through essentially a mall that's no longer a mall. So like we're seeing a lot, a shell of a mall, you know, mm-hmm. but it's basically been taken over by homeless people. Mm. And the daughter even says to the dad as they're running through, like, what's wrong with all these people? And he's like, well, society has rejected them because they're no longer consumers. Once you no longer consume, you know, nobody wants you anymore. You're useless. So, you know, they've decided to not consume. So therefore they're not considered part of society. It was real interesting, but I've often thought like, hey, all these malls that are basically going out of business, don't tear them down. We could make homeless shelters out of them. They're perfectly set up to house a lot of people. They have big cafeteria areas. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's perfect. It's perfect dwellings to help solve our homeless crisis. Hey,
mayoral race is coming up. I think you got your platform right there. No.
Anyway, Mosquito Coast, though. Seriously, watch it. It's, another Apple TV. Just really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have one last show to talk about. And you know, I'm just going to dog you to no end that you are not current on Handmaid's Tale. Because it's back. The long awaited. Dean, the kids got out on a plane at the end of season 3. June was shot and being taken through the woods by the other handmaids. What are you talking about? That kind of a cliffhanger and... what's gonna happen?
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think I've thought about Handmaid's Tale since the finale. I don't really care.
I mean, June can't go back. There is no going back.
Who cares? She shouldn't. Well, you know what? You know what? She shouldn't have. Gone back. She made the choice, and now she's back there. She could have gotten out like what, 4 times by now.
End of season 3 should have let you know that season 4 was going to be something different. The Waterfords were in prison in Canada by the end of season 3. June is shot and now like America's most wanted, Gilead's most wanted list. So there is no like going back to the way the first 3 seasons, like it's starting a new arc, in other words, of the show. So like something to get excited about, something new is going to be happening on Handmaids. It has to. You can't, so there what, is
she's
no.
Just, she's just like running now or something like.
No, dude. I don't know. Do you want to know? Do you want
to
know?
Sure. What's going on? What's June? What's Offred up to?
Dean. Okay. Anybody who doesn't want to know, we're going to spoil the shit out of Handmaids right now. Handmaids is going to be 10 episodes this season instead of its normal 13. I'm sure that's due to COVID. 7 have aired so far. So you're already behind. Anybody who's not current is crazy because Dean, June's in Canada.
How?
Well, it's been a journey.
So we time jump?
No, she has been, oh God, it has been a journey getting out of Gilead. She made it,
four episodes of her walking through the woods and meeting people who may or may not help her.
Way more. They've done way more with it than that. They've expanded the world. She got all the way to like Chicago. And it wasn't just her on foot. This is like a journey like you wouldn't believe. They've made it very, very interesting. And now she is reunited with Luke and Nicole, and it's just not going to be all sunshine and roses.
Is it like, here's my thing. Let's be real. Did Handmaid's lose all its power now that Trump's not in office anymore? I feel like that was half of what its popularity was. You know, that, well, we're living in a Handmaid's. We're so close to this happening. And
you
want to
know what I think? Much like Breaking Bad brought us this character, Walter White, who we loved and we were so sympathetic for. And he had cancer, Dean, and he was dying, and he loved his family above all. And yes, he was making drugs, but he was trying to do it for the right reason. He wasn't trying to do anything wrong, just wanted to make some money. But by the end of the show, he was the total bad guy. He was horrible. He was unredeemable. I kind of think they're going to do that with June. Now she's out. She's going to go on a revenge tear like you've never seen. She is still going to try to get Hannah back. And spoiler alert, I think she's still going to try to get Janine, because Janine did not make it out. The one eye patch girl. And although Janine made it very close on the journey. So I think she's going to try to go back, be this big hero. And just now, because you already saw it in this last episode, she went and confronted Serena and she did this like big power move. And then she went and had to have big power sex with Luke right afterwards. Like, it was almost like people are saying, like, it was almost like she went and raped Luke afterwards, because he was like, no, stop. And she was holding him down and choking him. And
is Luke,
like,
choking him?
Mm-hmm.
Is Luke the husband?
Yeah, not choking him. I'm sorry. Suffocating him, putting her hand over his mouth.
Goddamn.
And yeah, and being very like, you know, woman on top kind of move, which, great honor. She deserves whatever she wants after what she's been through. But
she's empowered, Lisa.
I know. That's what I was like.
Woman.
I thought so too. But then online chatter is like, well, actually, Luke was saying no, wait, no,
oh,
over and over. So like,
no consent,
rape. Yeah, I mean, it's like, how can you? You know, last time I saw a man get raped, again, I'm gonna go back to The Leftovers. Happened on that show, so I guess it. I guess it can happen.
But. Yeah. Yeah. That still always is one part of The Leftovers. I'm still always kind of like, I don't know.
It's one part that I never really watch again. I always am like,
yeah,
I can see this part. Well, oh, yeah, man. So Handmaid's Tale, I'm very up on it this season. It's had drama. It's had suspense. It's had things you didn't see coming, believe it or not. Still, it's still doing it. Elizabeth Moss is still great. I know you're sick of her face, but I think she's wonderful.
That's the thing. I've hate watched this show over the last two seasons, and it's been so long now that I've like lost my fire for it. So I don't.
Can I tell you something else? Can I tell you something else?
Yeah.
Okay. Another spoiler. Fast forward. Serena is pregnant.
With whom?
Fred.
Oh.
They had that one night of passion or whatever. So now this has not been brought up on the show, but there is a good chance that now maybe Nicole is actually Fred's baby, not Nick's, right?
Now wait, now why? But isn't that also a thing where like, if she's pregnant, will she be turned into a handmaid? Isn't that like the whole thing that the other women are sterile or something?
I mean, I don't know, but I don't think.
But isn't that the concept? Like why they have the handmaids to begin with? Because I mean,
yes,
wives. Yeah. So I mean,
but I don't think a commander's wife's going to suddenly just become a handmaid. But I don't think they're going back.
The whole point of it is they have to reproduce, right?
Yeah, but Dean, they're not going back to Gilead. They're not. They're war criminals. They're in prison.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
they're not going. You know, she is. Now she's June is hell bent on, like, June went and all but told her, I hope you have a miscarriage. so that you can feel the pain I have that you've caused me. I mean, June is starting to already be like, okay, June, that's not great.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think
they're going to do this whole, like, we've been sympathetic to June, sympathetic. And by the end of this show, if it really goes the 10 years that the showrunners wanted.
Oh, then, you know, I'm just been ahead of everybody because I've hated June for years. So.
Well, I don't think it could possibly go 10 years, but that's what they say they have in store. So who knows?
10 years.
I know. It hasn't been renewed that for that many.
Yeah.
I wish you were caught up on it. There's a lot more deep dive we could say about Handmaids, but we can end it there. Also, I know a show that I've recommended to you in the past that you were like, I've never even heard of it. It made my list last year, Mr. In Between, or 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
Yeah, I saw the new
little Australian show. This is its third and final season.
Okay.
The guy is so likable. Yeah, he's so likable. It's just really good. Ray, his name's Ray. So mm-hmm. He's really good.
Hey, did you ever end up watching the Falcon Winter Soldier?
No.
Well, you know, Loki starts in a couple weeks.
I'll be watching that. We could talk about that for sure.
Yeah,
we'll be back in time to talk about when we said that about Falcon and Winter Soldier. Yeah. And the whole thing aired. We never talked about it. But no, I never watched it because it actually did not look good to me at all. But Loki looks great.
Now that you can binge it, it's only six episodes. Mm-hmm. Six episodes. So you can do that pretty quickly.
I'll
learn who the new Captain America. There's a new Captain America, Lisa.
Big deal.
Black Captain America, you got to get on board.
Is it Sam?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. So, but big deal. I knew that was coming.
Well, yeah, but now it's happened. You got to watch the transition.
Oh, well.
You got to watch it for Zemo. For Zemo. He's the best part.
Yeah. Well, I will definitely be watching Loki. I will watch Ted Lasso, and I will watch Mythic Quest. All right. I'm making that commitment.
I'm gonna go for Gangs of London. I'm gonna set my I'm gonna give myself a light goal, just one show, but Gangs of London I'm gonna catch up on, and we can talk about that.
And let's have Roby on to talk about Gangs of London, because I have questions, Roby. I have questions, but you need to be caught up on it, and then we can all talk freely about the. You'll have questions too.
I'm gonna be in Florida for the next 2 weeks at my parents' house. I'm pretty sure they have the AMC, so I'll look at the on-demand menu, see if I can find that.
Don't let your kids watch
late night homework. No, it'll be like some late night homework. I'll get to it.
There is some brutality. Rough stuff. Rough. But so good. Yeah. And the Nevers. Oh, please just watch the Nevers 6 episodes. Give me a break. Not interested.
Never.
Is it because of the name?
I don't know. Maybe at this point.
Has nothing. I mean, it has something to do. It's because these people were never meant to exist. I'll say that.
I'll get to it.
All right. Well, it seems like a good place to wrap up here, Dean. And as always, I have enjoyed it tremendously. And yes, I want to make the commitment that we will come together more frequently. So we will start talking Loki very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Among other shows.
Yes.
Anything else you want to say before we go here?
Catch us on Twitter at MikeTV1 or at Rockdale_Tiger. Let us know what you're watching, or if there's any of the shows we talked about that you have questions or comments and you want us to mention them, let us know. We'll talk about them.
Absolutely. Or we won't.
Or we won't.
But hey, we'll still read your comments.
We'll read
them. Talk about you. So, yeah, it's a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for listening. And until next time, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Dean.
Please remember to
keep it thorough.
And come back soon.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.